He didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of faith, a spirit of joy. And I'm thankful to be a Christian. Yeah, the devil's got no hold on me, that young man sang. Yeah, good job. That fella right there, Paul, he talked about it a bit this morning, that we need to confirm things that we hear with the Word of God. That's the only source of truth. Okay. Now, have you ever had something in your mind that I'm sure that's in there? I'm sure of it. But then you look, and you look, and you look some more, and it's really not in there as in word for word as you thought in your mind. Now, you probably all recognize this one. God helps those who help themselves. Okay? That's been told that it is in there, and it is not in there. I was talking with Dave about that earlier this week, and Ben Franklin said that. So, the word rapture is not in there. It's not. But the action is. God helps those who help themselves is not in there. And the action ain't either. God is the help. God doesn't wait on us to do anything. God sent His Son to die on the cross for us that we might have eternal life through Him. So, and here's one that I've thought was in there. And I search and search and search, and it's not in there. But the action is to know Christ and to make Christ known. Now, boy, doesn't that sound like something Paul would have penned? To know Christ and to make Christ known. But that statement is not in there. But we're going to see a bit, and it may end up finishing this evening, but we're going to see that the action of to know Christ and to make Christ known is in there. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And if you would, stand for the reading of His Word. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of his father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." And as Paul was teaching, talking about in the Old Testament, the law. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." But verse 9 says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Let us pray. Lord, we ask you again, Lord, for your guidance and your blessing on this service this morning, Lord. We try to commend our hearts directly to you. Help us to put aside anything that has drawn our attention away from you. We ask again you just move upon us, be in every word. every action that's done here this morning. I pray again, Lord, for your guidance and direction to get me out of the way. Pray for our pastor this morning and his family and his ministry, Lord. I ask you continue to just bless and move upon him and his life. And again, I ask for you to forgive me where I fail you, and again, to get me out of the way. In these favors, we ask in Christ's name, amen. Amen. Now, one of the key parts to that scripture reading right there is to know Christ and to make Christ known. In verse 9, but now that ye have known God, and that's having a relationship with him, or rather are known of God, he knows you. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements wherein ye desire again to be in bondage? Now, one thing I'm going to just touch a little bit there toward the end of that verse, how we are those that have received Jesus as Savior, those that are known of God, those that are having a relationship with the Creator of all there is on this world, everything that we know, everything that we see, everything that we hear, everything that we touch is made of our Heavenly Father. So, that end, right now, and I'm just going to talk just a little bit about the situation we're in this world today. Now, this was him talking to the Jews who had come out of Judaism and had accepted Christ and was following God under grace. But when the time got a little troubled, says, turn ye again in the weak and bitterly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. That's a spirit of fear. That's where we're turning back. Man, where's our faith today? Amen. Where is it? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Ask yourself, do you know of Jesus? Because you know of him. A lot of folks know of him. The world knows of him. The world have heard of him. But do you know him? Okay. So we're going forward right there. I wrote this note just before I come up here. Christianity is not a feeling. You guys agree with that? Amen. Christianity is not a feeling. If it was, we would, how often would you feel unsaved? Guilty right here. We got to know that Christianity is not a feeling. Christianity is a follower of Christ. So, if we're a follower of Christ, if you are a Christian here today, and if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, and if you are born again, who are you following? We need to know who we're following. Agreed? Agreed. We do. We need to know who we're following. So, I'm going to talk just a few minutes about personal relationships. And I just an example is about mine and Debbie's and your other couples. But we have a personal relationship. We know one another. We have no secrets, do we? So, but in saying that route, because with God, you've heard Greg talk about, it's in Psalm 91, talks about the secret place of the Most High. You know where that place is at, don't you? We all have that place. I have that place that Debbie can't go, and she has that where I can't go. But God can go there. Everybody understand what that point is right there. That secret place. Okay. So, to know Christ, what's that mean to you? Let's think about that. To know Christ and then to make him known. So, a personal relationship. Now, if I kept Debbie hid at the house, I didn't tell her how much I loved her. I didn't even acknowledge her in any way. But I was married to her, and I had a personal relationship with her. Is that making her known? What kind of man, what kind of husband would I be if I kept her hid? If I kept my relationship with her hid away? Oh, you got a wife? Yeah, that... No, man, I love my wife. I'm not afraid to tell folks I love my wife. I want to show her that I love her. So, I want to make her known. Hey, everybody, that's Debbie Burton right there. We met umpteen years ago, and we got married, and we've been married 40-something years, and I still love her today more than ever. You think we need to be doing that with Jesus? Man, and are we doing that? Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes we get caught up in all this and we're sitting around a group of guys or whatever. Now here's an example of to know Christ and to make Him known. And it was confirmation to me on that this was the sermon topic for today. Friday morning... of course, I work in Ripley. Hilltop Meats. Went in there to get some bologna, and I'm just kind of standing in there. And there was a guy over on the other side of the room. I'm standing there with a couple of other customers, not talking with them or nothing. But there's a guy over there starts saying, "Hey, you know me, you know me." And you know, I'm looking around. No, he was talking to me. No, so I said, "Well, let me get closer. I got up there. I said, "You worked at 84 Lumber, Mineral Wells." "Yep, I did." He told me his name, and I remembered his name. And we was just talking for a few minutes. And I said, "Did you get saved?" And he said, "I did." He said, "I grew up in a Christian home." He said, "But I've been born again." And I could see it. And he made it known. Now, he could have hid that from me. And... I never would have known that. But what a joyous thing. It's good that we make Him known. We got to live life to make Him known. Okay. Now I'll get back to this. One, to know Christ. Personal relationship to know Christ. And I'll be brief here this morning. What do we know of Christ? Okay, we need to know who we're following, right? So what do we know about Him? We know of His physical birth. We celebrate Christmas every year, and that's because of the birth of Christ. And it's been proven that, in fact, there was a man named Jesus, you know, and you guys don't need to hear that, but it's a proven fact historically. Physically, archaeologically, that big word that I can't get spit out of there. But it's been proven that Christ was born and lived on this earth. So when somebody says, "You're following a fairy tale," nope, there's perfect evidence that we're following a real person. Okay, so... how do we come to know Christ? I'm going to just look up a few verses. You'll recognize them. John chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 11, 25. Now, this is what Jesus says. This real person that we know was born, that we know existed, that we know... was on this earth. He said, now this is something that was made up. Jesus said, because it's in red in the Word of God, says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Do you believe that this morning? So we established that we know who Jesus is. He was born. He was a man born man of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, born of Mary, born conceived by the Holy Ghost. And we know he lived a full life on this earth. He lived a perfect, full, sinless, a perfect, sinless, full life on this earth. We know he was crucified on the cross. We know he was in the tomb for 3 days. We know that he rose again, and we know that he is back on this earth, and we know that he ascended to heaven and is sitting on the right hand of the Father. We got that. We got that. So how do we know Christ? That's how we know. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though yet was he dead, yet shall he live. John 14:6. We know that when John 14:6 says, quote, this man that we follow, this man that said he is a resurrection, this man is Jesus. Now he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what else does he say? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, that's good to know about Jesus, isn't it? So what does that tell us? We need to really come to know him. And we're still talking about knowing who he is. We'll get to the intimate part of knowing him spiritually. So, who can come to know Christ? Who can I come to know this man that we're talking to? Can you come to know this man that we're talking about? Can any of you? Is there anybody that cannot come to know this man? Well, let's see what it says, the Word of God says. Romans 3:23. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I remember when I couldn't have got Matthew and Mark tied together. It says, chapter 3, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, who got left out right there? We all, that's a good word right there. We all fall into that category. We all come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's 5:12. Back up one book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John again. Going to John 1:29. John 1:29 says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming. Now, he's talking about this man that we've come to know, who has been proven fact, that's been on this earth. He said, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith. Now, what's he saying about this man that's coming down the road? Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now we can go on the history of what a lamb is for. A lamb is brought to sacrifice for sin. The priest would sacrifice that the shed blood. Sacrifice means to kill. The shed blood was to cover sin. And that's all they could do back in the Old Testament time was cover sin. But John says, behold, the Lamb of who? God. Back then it was the Lamb of that shepherd who ever raised that sheep. This is the Lamb of God. So we see that Jesus is that Lamb, that guy we've been talking about. And he's connected to God. Pretty good connection, wouldn't you say? So, who can come to know Christ? Let's see what he says on the end of that. Which take away the sin of the world. Who all is part of this world today? Hold your hand up if you're of this world. So that's there again, that's everybody. That's all of us fall into that category that we need to know this Jesus. That he's pretty important, this guy Jesus is. So, how do we come to know this man Jesus? I'm going to start out in Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Quote, this is that man Jesus talking again. So hear what he says. Take heed to what he's saying to you. He's saying, come unto me. The Lamb of God. This guy with these great big connections. How much in this world today, how important it is in this world today to know people that know people. You know, rub elbows with Hollywood, sports stars. Man, he's saying, come unto me. I am the Lamb of God himself, the giver of life. The first verse in Genesis, in the beginning, God. He is the Lamb of God. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That covers all of us, doesn't it? Living in these bodies, living in this body of sin nature is hard sometimes, isn't it? Whether it be physical ailments, as we cried out in prayer this morning to God, through the Lamb of God, to ask for healing upon our friends and neighbors whose bodies are failing. For our mental states, for those that have depression. And that can be, I'm telling you, that can be harder than any physical ailment. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We all have a past. You always hear, oh, God, never forgive me. I've done this, this, this. We've all done this, 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 and this. We are all guilty. If you think you're not guilty here this morning, you need to back up because you are guilty. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Under the sound of my voice and not under the sound of my voice that can be heard. Grandpa Charlie would always say that. I always thought that was pretty cool. If you're under the sound of my voice, but that means we're present right here, right now. I will give you rest. Man, who needs rest? I need rest. It says, take my yoke upon you. And here's the key to this verse right here. Remember the question? How do we come to know Christ? Jesus says, learn of me. Learn of me. How do we learn about things? He says right there, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's a description of that word easy. It means it fits. It works properly. Romans 10, 1. It's 10:17. Now listen, how do we come to know Christ? So then faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. That's where we need to be finding out who this Jesus is. How can we know Him more personally and deeper? Romans 10, 1 through 4 says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. And that's Paul. And he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." You've probably heard, seen the example, people miss heaven by this much. They know of God. They know of Jesus. They know of salvation, but they've never accepted it. That's what he's talking about right there. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God," and that's a desire, "but not according to knowledge." Verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Talking about, as we talked a little bit about this morning in the commandments, the graven image. We did a study on a while back. It was the Way of the Master series with Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort. And was talking about the Ten Commandments. And they come to the one on not having a graven image. And in my mind, a graven image was something I set up on a pedestal and worshiped, whether it be a motorcycle, fishing pole, whatever it might be, any physical thing. But it goes beyond that to where it's what you imagine God to be. Now, in that video, they would be witnessing to people in the street and say, "How many of the Ten Commandments do you know?" And this and this and this. And they'd talk about the graven image, and the guy would say, the people would say, "Well, to me, God is nothing but what the Word says He is." And if what you've got in your mind contradicts what's in the Word of God, you have a graven image. God would send people to hell? No. God is a God of love. Huh? But that's not the description. God is a righteous God. God is a loving God. God is not what I dream Him up to be. God is what His Word says it is. I think we had it in our discussion Wednesday night, talking about, you know, God told me to do this. In that respect, God does not... How is it? We cannot add anything to His Word. God has already said. So if you say, "God told me to do this," and it's in line with the Word of God has already told us, and He's leading us with His Holy Spirit. Okay. Verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Christ, okay, how do we come to know Christ? It's by studying His Word, by seeking Him. Romans 10, 1 through 4, submitting, that's the word right there. Verse 3 says, "They have not submitted themselves unto righteousness of God." What is submitting to? That is surrendering to. That is given into. That is given everything I have to Jesus. How else? Surrender. Are you holding anything back today from your service to Him? Romans 8, remember, how do we come to know Christ? Romans 10, I think that's right. Yeah, Romans 10, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we come to know Christ? By confession, by acceptance, by repentance. And what's another way? Is seeking. Matthew chapter 6. You've heard this many times, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How many things are getting us distracted from seeking the Lord right now? And right now we can put a name over the thing that's got us distracted now is COVID-19, riot. But it was something before that, and something before that. And it'll be something after this goes away, if it ever goes away. It may never go away. But should that have any bearings on our relationship with Jesus Christ? Should it have any bearings on our callings, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be doing? It should not. Matthew 7:7. Again, this is a quote from this man, Jesus, that we've been talking about. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. What a vote of confidence from the Lamb of God right there. And here's one that everybody will know, and we all probably fall short on. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe the Word of God is truly inspired by the Creator of all things Himself? We have to believe that. We have to take it all in. The Word of God has been proven just as Jesus has been proven. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the reproof for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm just going to step back just for a second in Genesis chapter 3 when Satan has tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and God has told him, do not eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And the liar of all liars, the destroyer of all destroyers, the hater of you, whispers in their ear, surely you won't die. The world believes that today. The world believes that lie today. Surely you won't die. Says, you will become as gods, knowing good and evil. And I've since learned what he means right there. And that good and evil was not what God describes as good and evil in His Word. But it is described as good and evil in what you can imagine in your own mind. Look at our world today, running rapid, chasing their tails, but chasing something other than the Word of God. How do we come to know Jesus? How do we come to know the Word of God? By seeking it, by desiring it, by fellowshipping one with the other, by encouraging one another. Man, I need your all's encouragement. I do. I think about a pastor and a church, and I've realized one can't carry everybody, but everybody can carry one. Not meaning that you carry the pastor, but we all carry the one that needs carried. And that might be you. It might be you. It might be you. It'll be all of us at some point in time. That's what God had in mind when He brought the church together. The local church. We know it's the body of Christ. But we know we are here to support one another and lift each other up. Because there again. Have you ever asked the question, you look around, you see people in turmoil, things not going right. And I remember this one feller I just admired so much, and I looked up to him, and it's like, why does he have it so good and I don't? What am I doing wrong? And I was missing the whole point of everything. I hope you got something out of this morning. I think maybe tonight we'll go into more in the not private personal relationship that will to make him known. But if you don't have a relationship with this man we've talked about here this morning, I invite you to come to know him, because he wants to know you. God sent his Son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you committed to him today? Do you want to come to know him today? It says that a confession in Romans, we read that once, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the personal thing. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And that's making him known. Do you know him today? And are you afraid to make him known? Belinda, you got a song. And I hope this stirred something within you as the Lord had stirred it within me.